Okay, John.
Good morning and welcome to First Baptist Church. We welcome one and all who are worshiping with us through our pre-recorded service today. Due to the coronavirus, we are still unable to meet together in God's house to worship all together. But where there is a will, there is a way. We know how important it is to get God's message out to all of you. You can't know how much we miss seeing your smiling faces. I have missed being with you all these past few weeks and feel very blessed to be able to be with you here today. Please know that we continue to take all the necessary precautions. We are social distancing. We are standing the right distance apart. We're washing our hands and taking all the necessary precautions. We trust that you are doing the same, and we thank you for staying in your homes to keep all of us safe. You know, with all the craziness that is going on in our world today, it is easy to get discouraged and frustrated. It's easy to let fear take over. But we can't forget that our holy God is in control and he is there for us. In Psalm 46, verses 1 to 3, we read, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. And in Psalm 46, verses 10 and 11, we read, be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, our team is going to sing for us. We thank you, Joan and Cheryl and Bob, for ministering to us today through music. And we thank you, Earl, for working on the sound for us.
Storm. Father, you are King over
Let us pray. Holy Father in heaven, you are the God in three persons, the Blessed Trinity. You are merciful and mighty and our source of strength and hope in troubled times. Lord, we thank you for each person who is watching and/or listening to this service online today. And though we can't all be together in person, our hearts are united as we lift our prayers to you. Father, our hearts are particularly tender as we think of the victims and the family and friends of the victims of the mass shooting in Nova Scotia. We pray that your peace and comfort be upon them, for you provide the comfort that surpasses all understanding. Bring healing to this community and to our whole country, we pray. Father, we lift to you all who are touched by the coronavirus. We pray for our world leaders at all levels of government. May you give them wisdom to know how to proceed in the coming days. We pray for doctors, nurses, and all healthcare workers. We pray that you will strengthen them and keep them safe while they care for our loved ones. We pray for healing from this terrible disease. We thank you for all of our frontline essential workers, from truck drivers to grocery store and restaurant workers, and those who provide countless other services. We feel blessed to have them working on our behalf. Be a source of strength to them and cover them in the safety of your protective hand. Give them peace when they feel discouraged and strength when they feel weak. We thank you for all who are social distancing and staying home, but we know that the isolation makes many of us feel alone and depressed. I pray, Lord, that you will comfort all who feel discouraged. Help us to remember to reach out to connect with one another through phone calls or through social media. We thank you that we have these means of staying connected to one another. Lord, we pray for our church family. We pray for those who are going through cancer treatment and for those who are recovering from surgery or are awaiting surgery. We pray for your healing touch in their lives. We thank you that you are the great physician. We pray for those who are suffering a loss of income or for those who are searching for new employment. We pray for students who are having to finish their schooling at home. You know the stresses that all these people are undergoing, and you know their every need. We entrust them to your loving, caring hands, and we know that you hear our prayers. Now, Lord, as we open your word this day, we pray for your anointing on Pastor Smart as he brings us the message which you have placed on his heart. Open our hearts and minds to be receptive to hear your word, and may we go on to share this message and witness to others in our community. We ask this all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
I'm forgiven because you are forsaken. I'm accepted, you are condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? My joy to honor you. that you, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you.
Amen, and thank you, team, in all we do. We honor you. That's our desire in everything in our lives. I want to thank you also for joining us today in this broadcast. And just in case you're counting numbers, what I need to tell you is that while Sue was up here, I was in the back hallway so we could keep our numbers squared away according to the protocols that we have during this COVID time, which cannot be over fast enough to suit all of us, I'm sure. I want to say a special thanks to Sue for being able to be with us today. Sue is our regular service leader for those of you who have been tuning in for the first time during our COVID crisis. And this is the first time in 6 weeks that we've been able to share the service together. So it feels a little more like we're all together as a team today. In a small town somewhere, a nightclub opened up on Main Street. The only church in town rightly took exception to the fact that a nightclub was coming to their small town, and in their prayer meetings, they began to pray against the nightclub. And during one of these prayer meetings, a great thunderstorm erupted, and lightning struck the nightclub and it burned to the ground. Well, the nightclub owner was well aware, it being a small town, that the church had been praying against his nightclub. So he took them to court, claiming that they were responsible for the fire because of their praying. The judge heard the arguments of the nightclub owner, attempting to prove that it was the power of their praying that had caused the fire, as well as the arguments of the church officials denying any responsibility in the matter. Pondering the case, the judge said, "It seems that wherever the guilt may lay, on the one hand, we have a nightclub owner who believes in prayer, and on the other hand, a church that doesn't." One of the good things that is happening in this time of COVID is that people are praying more. Some, perhaps, are praying for the first time. Anytime a crisis happens becomes a call to prayer and a call to extra praying. And our hearts and our prayers do go out to those who stand in need of our prayers in Nova Scotia, those who are suffering unimaginable trauma and grief, as well as those who are suffering because of COVID. Some of the suffering and pain that people are enduring is deep within and is too deep for some to even speak of, and yet it is real because of the loneliness that is being felt during this time of isolation. Prayer is needed, and we need to be praying. Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed often. Time and time again, Jesus would withdraw from the crowd to be by himself, to go to a quiet place and to pray, and there to commune with his Father in heaven and to spend time with his Father. On one occasion, when Jesus was finished praying, his disciples asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And it was here that Jesus gave to them what we call the Lord's Prayer, but in fact should be called the disciples' prayer. And it is a prayer that we use often here. You've heard us use it in our services, because we value it and what it teaches. Jesus was teaching in this prayer about prayer, not precisely what to pray, but how to pray. See, it's not in the reciting of the Lord's Prayer that is the substance of prayer. The substance of prayer is found in the heart connection to God. And so what this prayer does is teaches us how to connect our heart to God and to pray in a manner that's pleasing to God. Understanding what Jesus meant by this prayer and its instruction is foundational to meaningful prayer. And in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus himself teaches us about prayer and therefore about experiencing the presence of God in the affairs of our life. And so it is this prayer that I want to come to this morning. Jesus began his prayer, "Our Father." Our Father is a term of intimacy. This is the language of family. This is the language of intimacy and of personal relationship and of a recognition that he has made us. He is our Father and we are his. Luke records that following Jesus' giving of the Lord's Prayer, that Jesus then illustrated the father-child relationship that is paramount in our understanding of what it means to pray. His teaching was that God is not some remote being that we must entreat with rituals and form, etc., or to be afraid to call upon, that he is our Father, and we can call upon him as such, our Father. God insists that we view him as Father and relate to him as such, knowing that as his children, he loves us with an everlasting love. He nurtures and cares for us as a good father does his own children because he is good. Luke records this story of these words of Jesus. "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." See, prayer begins with the child of God coming to God as his child, coming to his Father in heaven in love and humility and in recognition of who he is, not some cosmic vending machine who takes our prayer orders and fills them. He is our Father, the one who is watching over us, the one who is sovereign, and the one who cares for us. "Our Father," Jesus continued, "who art in heaven." This is a word of adoration. This is a declaration and acknowledgement that he is our Father, but he is the God of heaven, and that as the God of heaven, he is higher than any other. A word of adoration that he is our heavenly Father, and it directs our attention upward. It lifts our hearts and minds out of the circumstances around us, even as chaotic as it may be sometimes. It lifts our minds out of this world and into the heavenly realms. And it causes us, or ought to cause us, to come first and to humble ourselves before him in adoration of who he is, because he is transcendent over all. He is greater than all of the problems that we might face. He is greater than all of the chaos and the troubles in the world, that he is above all powers and he is above all kingdoms. He dwells in heaven, and we will too one day. And one day we will see him face to face. It also recognizes that we are but pilgrims here on earth. And while we live here, this is only temporary, for our true citizenship is in heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven. So first there's a recognition of who God is, our Heavenly Father, deserving of all praise and adoration. On this foundation, Jesus then gives seven petitions. The first petition is, "Hallowed be your name." And that is a word of worship. Hallowed means to make holy, to honor as holy. At the heart of worship is the recognition that God is a holy God and we fall before him. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. See, to make his name holy in our lives is to honor him and to hold his name up as holy and to be careful how we use his name. The Jewish scribes, when they were copying the scrolls, copying the scriptures, they would go through a ceremonial cleansing whenever they were preparing to write the name of God. They would do it with great care, very carefully, and they would do their ceremonial cleansing every time they wrote the name of God. The average speed of copying the scriptures for them was 3 letters per minute, 20 seconds per letter. You time that out. But even at that painstakingly slow pace, they would slow down even further when it came time to write the name of God in the scriptures. So holy were they to hold his name. If when they were copying the name of God, they made a mistake, they had to start that page all over again. And if that mistake was near the end of the page, they would have lost one entire week's worth of work. Novice scribes would begin with the book of Esther to gain experience because the name of God does not appear in that book. Jesus is teaching us that in prayer and in life, God's name is to be sacred and honored. The third commandment is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You shall not misuse his name. The world uses his name so glibly and lightly and irreverently. You hear it all the time. You know what I'm talking about. I hope it makes you cringe. And I hope you don't do that. If you do, pray for God's forgiveness and a new awareness of the sacredness of his name. His name is holy. We must hallow it. Never use it lightly. Use it reverently. It is also about the importance that we give to God in our lives, his place in our life, and how we honor him in all we do. It's about being in our place in his house of worship, even though we can't be there physically at this time. We are still there in heart, and as we're listening in and gathering together, at whatever time we're listening in, we're still gathered together in heaven, in unity and together. And we hallow his name in our willingness to serve him in prayer and with our gifts and with our abilities. Thy kingdom come. That is a word of sovereignty. Wherever there is a kingdom, there must also be a king. This word, thy kingdom come, this phrase recognizes his sovereignty over the world and over our individual lives. He is absolutely sovereign, and to him we bow as his loyal subjects, and we accept his reign and his rule in our lives. We're also to pray that his kingdom would be made known through us as he reigns in us. His presence and his kingship is revealed to others. Thy kingdom come. It is also a forward look. It's looking forward to the coming again of Jesus Christ. It is a petition that God would move history toward that great day when Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will come just as he promised. He came as Savior, but he's coming as King. When you pray, do you accept his reign and rule in your life? See, that is central to effective praying. In your praying, are you telling God what you want, or are you seeking his will and accepting his sovereignty in your lives? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is a term of submission. How is God's will done in heaven? In one word, perfectly. How is His will done in your life? Do you seek out His will? Or do you simply ask Him to add His blessing to your will? There's a great difference between those two. Even Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, we read, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." This is about putting God first. It's about seeking and surrendering to His will in our lives, regardless of where that may take us or what it may cost us. It will cost. But I promise you this, following Jesus Christ won't cost you anything that really matters in the end. The blessings and rewards of discovering His will and surrendering to His will in your life will far outweigh everything else, all put together. So, the question is, how is His will being accomplished in your life? How is His will being accomplished in my life? We all need to ask ourselves that question. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. That term is a recognition of our absolute dependence upon God. It recognizes our dependence upon Him for the food that is on our table, our dependence on Him for the gift of work and the skills that He gives and the talents that enable our economic well-being. It is a term that recognizes our dependence on Him for our spiritual daily bread. That manna from heaven, that work of the Holy Spirit who takes His word and teaches us and nurtures us deep within our souls in the things of God as He causes the word of God to become alive in us. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Everyone needs forgiveness. Lord, forgive me for. Lord, you fill in a blank. Lord, forgive me for. See, He freely gives if we are willing to turn away from our sin. But there's a codicil. Forgive us our trespasses. Here's the codicil. As we forgive those who trespass against us. Matthew records these words from Jesus as He concluded the teaching on the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 through 15. "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Think about that. That is powerful. The question is, how are you practicing this in your life? Is there anyone in your life that you are refusing to forgive and to leave them in the hand of God? "For if you forgive men," Jesus said, "when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Take this seriously. Do not take it lightly. Forgiveness is absolutely essential, both finding it in our lives and giving it when we need to. Lead us not into temptation. This is a term that recognizes our reliance on the Holy Spirit to protect us. Temptation is all around us. You know, it's part of our lives. And this phrase in the prayer recognizes our need of the Holy Spirit's help in keeping us from falling into sin. Keeping us from immorality in whatever form. It takes many forms. Pornography is a form of immorality, and etc. Of lying, of gossip, of manipulating others. Sin is well defined in these words. Sin is anything that we say, do, or think that is wrong. In spite of what the world accepts as okay, if God says it's wrong, It's wrong. And on that great judgment day, it will not be enough to say, but so-and-so said it was okay. But the government said it was okay. But everybody else was doing it. That won't matter. God's standard is the standard. And on the judgment day, it will be the only standard. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is a word of promise. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, we read, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it." Guard your heart, folks. Guard your heart, and God will deliver you from whatever evil desires, whatever the lure of the things of the world, however Satan may be tempting us. Deliver us from evil. Literally reads, deliver us from the evil one. And that needs to be a part of our prayers when we are praying. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. That's the doxology. This doxology does not appear in some manuscripts. It does appear in some editions based on a prayer of David's in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Some translations include it, some don't. But it is scriptural, and it is a very fitting conclusion. And it puts everything back into its proper perspective. It brings us back to a focus on God. And it brings us back to worship and commitment. For His is the kingdom. And we are His subjects. And we commit to being His subjects in this doxology. And we anticipate His coming. For His is the power, not ours. Not our earthly puny power. It is by His power that His will be done. And we rely on His strength and surrender to His authority and surrender to His sovereignty. Glory. We live and breathe, folks, to the glory of God in Christ. To God be the glory. Great things He has done, great things He is doing. Even in these days, God is doing some great things, and great things He will do. It is to the glory of God that we, His followers, commit our lives each and every day. So here's the question. Are you living to the glory of God? How is God receiving glory because of you? Understand this prayer. Let the Lord teach you how to pray so that you may know how to live. And Jesus taught them to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." The Servant King is a song that asks us to be like our Servant King. The prayer that Jesus taught teaches us how to pray and how to be like Him. Make this song the desire and prayer of your heart.
Helpless babe entered our world with glory veiled, not to be served but to serve, and give your life that we might live. This is our God, our servant King. He calls us now to to the Servant King. Yet not my will, but yours, he said. Come see his hands and his feet. The scars that speak of sacrifice, hands that flung stars into space. To cruel nails,
Father in heaven, we bow before you as the God of heaven. We come to you in the name of Jesus, the one who came to be the servant, to suffer on the cross, to die there, to become our Savior, but then to come as our King. He is the King of kings and he is the Lord of lords. And in recognition of that today, we bow before you and we receive upon our lives the benediction of Jesus himself, where he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And so we won't. Amen.